This is the time of year when many Muslims fast for Ramadan, and traditionally the White House hosts big celebrations to mark the Muslim holiday, but this year the celebration looks different. And that's a sign of the challenge the White House faces navigating its relationship with Muslims as the U.S. supports Israel's war against Hamas in Gaza. NPR White House correspondent Asma Khalid is with us. Hi there.
Hi there, Ari.
How is the White House marking the holiday this year?
Well, President Biden's going to be doing two things. He's meeting with a handful of Muslims today at the White House and then hosting a scaled-down Ramadan iftar dinner just for a small group of Muslim officials who work in the Biden administration. Initially, the White House had planned to have a slightly larger Ramadan dinner Tuesday evening with some Muslim community leaders, but plans changed after some of the people invited said they did not feel comfortable with dining at the White House right now. One of them was Wael Al-Zayat. He runs the largest Muslim Get Out the Vote organization in the country called Engage.
This is the holy month of Ramadan, and these are the last 10 most holiest days of the month. And it would be inappropriate to be breaking fast at the White House, given our policies that are enabling a famine in Palestine.
Al-Zayat and other Muslims pushed for a meeting instead of a dinner, and the White House press secretary said the administration listened and adjusted the format at the request of the Muslim community. But ultimately, Al-Zayat said he still declined the invite because he doesn't think that this last-minute change is going to result in a substantive policy conversation on Gaza, and that is what he wanted.
And so what is the focus of the meeting and who's on the guest list?
Well, it's a small group, just half a dozen people meeting with the president, the vice president, and senior members of the president's National Security Council. There is no doubt that the situation in Gaza is, of course, top of mind for many. And I've been told that the guest list includes a couple of doctors who recently returned from aiding patients inside of Gaza. You know, one thing, Ari, that I've heard from a number of Muslim leaders, though, is that they don't feel like the president and his team are listening to them. Biden last met with a small group of Muslims at the White House in late October. In fact, Al-Zayat was there then. So was Rami Nashashibi. He's a Palestinian-American community organizer from Chicago.
The reality is we have not seen in the last 5 months the president take any responsibility for the fact that perhaps his inability to rein in Netanyahu much earlier has contributed to some of the catastrophic loss of life.
And Nashashibi told me one thing he hopes comes out of the president's meeting today is a greater degree of transparency. He said when they met in October, there was no press access and no accountability for what the president said or didn't say to them.
Asma, you've also been covering the president's reelection campaign. So how does the White House effort to reach Muslim voters factor into Biden's strategy leading up to the November elections?
Well, you know, the president is often seeing protests wherever he goes, upset by people with how he's handled the war in Gaza. A few weeks ago, senior administration officials were in Chicago, and one of the meetings they had lined up had to be canceled because local Muslim leaders refused to sit down with White House staff. White House officials appear to be trying to balance competing pressures by hosting events that reflect the somber mood in the Muslim community, but also, you know, avoid the possibility of large-scale boycotts. But Ari, this is an ongoing challenge. You know, if the White House had had zero events marking the Muslim holidays when they routinely host receptions for other communities, that could have also caused them a political headache.
NPR's Asma Khalid, thank you.
Good to talk to you.